more information, or if you want to order a tape of today's show, you can call my information number. And that number is 707-773-4727. Or you can always go to my website. What you do is delete www and type in members.aol.com/YOHAF. Now, I want to remind you that what we're trying to do during this hour is cajole you, educate you, inspire you to join your Pacifica station during this hour and become a member. And we have all kinds of goodies to thank you with, including a copy of Robert Crayon's latest book, which is called The Carnitine Miracle, which is published by Evans. This is a super nutrition program, super nutrient program, and also talks about, as he says, stuff he wants to tell you about the Paleolithic diet, among other things. So if you believe that a high-carbohydrate, low-fat diet will heal and protect you from heart disease, listen to this interview with your seatbelt buckled. My guest, Robert Crayon sent me a binder full of scientific research, all published within the last 10 years, some a little bit longer ago, about the profoundly protective effects for the heart and vascular system of a high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet. Let me introduce my guest, Robert Crayon. Are you with us?
I think I am, Lena. Thanks for having me.
You sound like you are. Robert Crayon, MS, is a clinician. He's a nutritionist, a researcher, and an educator who was voted one of the top 10 nutritionists in the country by Self magazine. Does that mean that you called yourself one of the... Never mind. In August of 93, it's an actual magazine, Self magazine. He maintains a busy nutrition practice in Boulder, Colorado, and New Rochelle, New York. And as you know, he's a frequent guest on radio because he's been on our show several times and television programs nationwide. He's the author of the best-selling Robert Crayon's Nutrition Made Simple, published by Evans, and now his new book is called The Carnitine Miracle. He's also president of Designs for Health, which is an educational institution that trains healthcare practitioners in the latest findings in clinical nutrition. And I would say Robert is the hardest working person in the field, so we're very lucky to have him here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Many heart patients with varying degrees of success have followed the suggestions of Dr. Dean Ornish, and many have reduced their most troubling cardiovascular symptoms like angina, painful angina, with his low-fat, very low-protein diet. So it's very frightening for these people to consider what we're about to discuss, because once you've gotten some improvement with a life-threatening situation, it's very hard to consider trying something else, especially something that's 180 degrees. Why do you think these heart patients have enjoyed what success they have on Dr. Ornish's diet?
Well, the trouble with staying on the Ornish program is that a 10% fat diet is very hard to cook and prepare. That really is where it comes.
Yeah, but why? But what I want to talk about first is...
We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Why they have enjoyed some success, but I don't think it's the best approach. One of my mottos in natural medicine is just because something works doesn't mean it's the best way to do it. It may work, but it might be causing long-term problems. And the Ornish study that was published in The Lancet showed that they had an increased number of triglycerides circulating in their blood. Their triglycerides went up by 60 points, and that's a sign of long-term glucose problems, long-term risk to diabetes. So short-term, things might be fixed. It's like that diet to me is like a cast that you put on your arm. It might be good for a while, but long-term, you're going to weaken that arm, and long-term, a high carbohydrate diet doesn't really work for most people, and it doesn't have any real precedent in Paleolithic or people groups around the world. And we need to really quickly clear up this image of us as hunter-gatherers eating nuts and berries and occasionally eating some meat for our 2.6 million year history. No, we ate plenty of meat. Up to 56 to 60% of our calories were from animal products. And that's from the published scientific literature. And Lane, as you know, I have no connection with the Beef Board or anybody. You know, this is not some veiled, you know, argument for people to buy any particular products. It's just the evidence is there that we ate a lot of protein throughout our history, that we didn't eat too many carbohydrates, and there's a lot of questioning in the literature of this high-carbohydrate approach. As a matter of fact, in the New England Journal of Medicine, very recently, as a matter of fact, July 2nd of this year, a paper was published called The Effects of Diet and Exercise in Men and Postmenopausal Women with Low Levels of HDL and High Levels of LDL Cholesterol.
You're getting a little ahead of us.
Okay.
I want to go back to that, but I want to answer the question I just asked, which is, that one of the reasons that I understand people to have success on the Ornish diet, and they do, is that it puts them on a whole food diet, which includes a lot of whole, unprocessed foods with lots of fresh vegetables, where people may have been eating a lot of processed carbohydrates and not a lot of fruits and vegetables. And initially what happens is that people lose weight and lose fluid, which weight and fluid creates drag on the heart. So they get initial results for this, but about 6 months later, some people, as you say, see this terrible spike in their triglyceride level, which is the fat in your blood. And as Robert said, that sets you up for a potential diabetic situation. It also sort of helps to plaque the arteries again as well. The other thing is that I've also found that some of these patients end up with their cholesterol levels climbing back up. And so that brings us to the research that you were about to cite, which is about what happens to cholesterol levels when people eat a low-fat, low-protein, high-carbohydrate diet.
And according to this most recent paper, there really is no improvement in what's called the National Cholesterol Education Program Step 2 diet, which is particularly low in fat. There was no improvement, exercise improvement, but the diet didn't help. In other words, a low-fat diet doesn't work. There was a paper recently in the European Heart Journal saying the low-fat diet is ineffective. And it's out there in the literature, but it's not out there in the media. Why? Because we have this food pyramid that's got 6 to 11 servings of grain and carbohydrate products on the bottom. And, you know, if you look at the food pyramid, it's about 60% carbohydrates. And carbohydrates are sugars and starches. That's everything from Mars bars to potatoes to broccoli to brown rice to sugar. And everything that breaks down eventually into a sugar is called a carbohydrate, whether it breaks down slowly like a whole grain product or quickly like white flour or sugar. Anyway, 60% carbohydrates, 15% protein, 25% fat. Curiously enough, this is the exact same ratio of protein, fat, and carbohydrates found in something called swine fattening formula that's fed to pigs to fatten them up. So when farmers want to fatten up their pigs, they use the food pyramid unknowingly to make a gain in weight, a gain in body fat. And unfortunately, I think the epidemic in obesity and the resultant diseases of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and to a degree cancer come from the fact that we've got the most basic problem imaginable in nutrition. We're not eating enough protein, particularly women. Men often are, but women often aren't eating enough protein. We're eating too many carbohydrates. And, of course,
I see it about equal, actually, between men and women. I see a lot of men who are not eating it, too. Why don't we go ahead and explain? Because, you know, my experience with people is there are people listening who are eating a high-carbohydrate diet that feel okay. So what might be valuable to explain here, because when people are doing something, it sometimes takes many years before a potential effect that's not desirable occurs.
Absolutely.
So you may feel fine, and then 10 years later or so, you may not feel fine. So why don't we go over what happens on a physiologic level so that people are educated in the body with a high-carbohydrate diet that may lead to some problems?
One of the things that happens, particularly people who eat too much fruit, there's a process in the body. You know, fruit's fine, but more than one or two servings a day to me is probably not optimal. The fruits we have today are not the fruits we ate for 99% of human history. They've been bred to be very, very sweet, very high in sugar, and the sugar in fruit is usually predominantly fructose, and there's a process in the body known as fructosylation, which ages the body. It's the combination of sugar with body proteins, and it just destroys you bit by bit. And if you've ever seen anybody who's eaten tons of fruit for years, they don't have the best-looking skin. I mean, that's just been my experience, and we know why. Because of fructosylation and because of this unfortunate aspect of the effect of sugars on the body, I have a well-known researcher friend who's an MD, and patients come to see him. They say, put me on a healthy diet. He says, well, let me put you on the least health-destroying diet. I mean, that's a negative way to look at it. But we have this glorification of grains and fruits, and by the way, if we glorify vegetables, I'm all for it. Low in sugar, high in phytonutrients and vegetables. High in phytonutrients and vitamins and minerals. Vegetables, particularly green ones, are fabulous, but we overdo fruit. And the other problem is the sugars stress our endocrine system, particularly the adrenal glands. The combination of caffeine and excessive carbohydrates, I feel, is one of the reasons that all the practitioners I know are seeing a lot of fatigue, adrenal exhaustion, thyroid problems, a lot of problems like that. And when we exhaust our blood sugar balancing system, then we get into long-term problems, not only like type 2 diabetes, which is affecting nearly 1 in 20 Americans, and that's the textbook definition of an epidemic, but we also get into problems relating to cognitive issues such as Alzheimer's disease and short-term memory problems, because when you have large dips in blood sugar, you can start to damage the brain. So we overstress a system. You know, we have a two-lane highway to manage simple carbohydrates in the body, and we have 6 lanes worth of traffic constantly pushing through it. 22% of our calories are from refined carbohydrates in the U.S., and our body's just not meant to handle it. So okay. We could also look at suppressed immune function and go on and on.
Okay. Well, let me go on and on for a second, too. One of the things that happens when you use grains and fruit as carbohydrates, although I think that some fruit it gives you protective effects as well. There are things in fruit that are helpful. But using starchy things instead of using vegetables for carbohydrate is that these starches, like potatoes and grains, are quick. They digest very, very quickly. And the result is that you get sugar levels go up very fast, and that means your insulin level goes up. And your insulin is a signal in the body for a number of events to occur, not the least of which is for the fat cells to take up fat. But so too much of this sort of insulin system being stimulated causes a cascade of other unfortunate events. Like Robert says, it causes some adrenal response as well, but it also can cause eventually the body to become insensitive to insulin, and then you're really in trouble.
Yes, you are.
Your body starts to reject the fat and the sugar that you're eating and sends it back into the bloodstream, where you end up with the triglycerides and the cholesterol levels going up, and we know what that does to your cardiovascular system. So, now, for the sake of what we're talking about today, how much protein are we talking about when we say high protein, knowing that people are individual and different? But based on the Paleolithic research, talking about the thrifty gene and insulin sensitivity, the Paleolithic research that you sent me, some of the most famous stuff that you sent me, the Eaton study, which I believe Barry Sears used to write his book, The Zone, what have we learned about how much protein human animals tolerate and do well with?
Well, throughout most of human history, we had two food groups, which is wild game, which includes everything from elk to beaver to you name whatever animal we could get our hands on, and wild, uncultivated fruits and vegetables. And so when you work out what a 3,000-calorie diet must have been, because we were very active in those days, you realize that if it was 50% animal and 50% produce, then even that is, you know, 4 or 5 pounds of produce. So you can see that we couldn't have consumed, because again, there's no grains, no dairy products, no lentils, no yeasted products for the vast majority of human history. These are all relatively new. So if you realize we only had animal products and we only had fruits and vegetables, it must have been at least 50%. And this is what all the new papers are showing. So if you have 1,500 calories coming from animal products, you're talking about at least 150 grams of protein a day, maybe more. And what's interesting is that people tend to be afraid of protein because they think it's going to damage their kidneys. That's not true. We have a paper showing it.
Okay, which paper are we talking about, and what does it say?
Well, the papers that show that protein may be a problem show people with kidney function that's already declined because they have kidney disease. Those people certainly need to restrict protein. But the papers that I'm citing are ones that are in the binder that I sent you that show that we have increased ability to detoxify ammonia when we have more protein in the body. There's a new paper that just came out in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that shows that eating protein at the level in the food pyramid, 7 ounces a day, decreases our ability to absorb and metabolize calcium. And what is the other fear people have? Protein is going to damage their bones. Well, protein and calcium both need to be present in optimal amounts for bone health, because the structure upon which the calcium is laid in your bones is protein. So there's this balance that we're trying to create, and let me give you a firm answer to your question. Somewhere between 30 and 40% of calories was protein in the Paleolithic times. I think today, because our body frames are smaller, we're not as muscular, I think 20% could be a reasonable consumption. And by the way, Barry Sears may mention the Paleolithic research in his book, but the zone is not derived from Paleolithic research.
Oh, I know.
Barry's a nice guy, and I appreciate all the information he's given people. I'm not here to criticize him, but just to create a distinction that the Paleolithic diet is not a formulaic thing. It's one where we have principles, and one of the principles is that you have a certain amount of protein and a certain amount of fruits and vegetables, and that there are so many new foods that may be causing problems. One of the other long-term effects I want to quickly mention of our modern diet is that we get overexposure to foods that may trigger autoimmune disease. Multiple sclerosis is an example of a condition that we've had 2 cases here in Colorado go into remission on people who went into a Paleolithic diet. No grains, no dairy, no lentils, no yeast. So more protein. But the thing is, people need to experiment. You said a wonderful thing, Lena, that we're all individuals. And what all I'm asking people to do is experiment with the amount of protein and carbohydrates they're eating. See how you feel. One of the wonderful things about a diet that has nice amounts of protein throughout the day is that the energy is better. And it's such a simple thing to achieve better health if we're just willing to question our diet, and, you know, the unexamined diet is not worth eating.
Yeah, that's true. You are listening to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman. I'm on the phone with a nutritionist, Robert Crayone, and we're talking about the prevention of heart disease with, are you holding onto your seat, a high-protein diet. Now, there are other things that people are afraid of in terms of high-protein, and the other thing I want to say is that one of the ways that you can determine your protein need is going to be a combination of your stress. Because you need to remember, well, you don't, I would like to suggest that you remember, I'm trying to learn how to use language that's less insistent and preachy. I would recommend that you consider that protein is for repair in the body. It's used for repair. Fat is a very good source of energy, and you get more fat when you eat more protein, and you need a little more fat with a high-protein diet. So fat is a good form of energy instead of using starches. But the amount of stress that you're under, how healthy you are, how good your gut absorption is, how active you are, how large you are, is going to help you figure out how much protein you need. So, you know, more stress, more protein, more illness. If you're older, as you get older, you need more protein. There's even an article that came out in the Associated Press about people after 50 needing more protein in their diet. Now, I want to cite another thing that frightens people about animal protein, and before I do that, I want to just say that my sense is that for people who digest and absorb, and people know who they are, people who do digest and absorb vegetable protein well and efficiently and wish to remain vegetarians can still eat a high-protein diet. Is that not so?
Well, they can. The quality and assimilation that you get from vegetable protein is not as good as with animal protein. That's a fact. Now, I was a vegetarian for 11 years, so I've been there, and it's something that I was healthy throughout, but I feel much better having gone back to animal protein. But you can definitely be a vegetarian and be healthy. It just requires a little more work, and vegetarians know they need to look out for B12, zinc, selenium, and vitamin D. They tend to be low in those things. But vegetarians eat a lot of vegetables, and that's great. And they have certain studies showing they have lower risk of disease, but vegetarians are not the only people who can eat more vegetables. All of us can, and follow that example.
Okay, so part of what we've gone over is, just to remind you, because this is an important point, and there's a huge study, there's a couple studies in here that cite, one of them is, it was in the American Society Clinical Journal in 98, about the fact that when you reduce cholesterol, and when you eat a low-fat diet and you eat a low-protein diet, you may lower your cholesterol, but you will lower mostly the cholesterol that is not the cholesterol you want. In other words, you will lower the high-density lipid proteins, the HDL. The HDL is protective. And so what happens often when people see a drop in their cholesterol is that they're mostly dropping the useful or beneficial cholesterol, which sweeps through your body and does good things. So you may lower cholesterol at the expense of your HDL, which is not what you want to do. Now, the other thing that frightens people is that we've been told that a high animal protein diet causes colorectal cancer and other forms of cancer, and that it causes atherosclerosis. Now, you have two studies in here that just made the hair on the back of my neck stand up, because I knew from studying scientific stuff about what the body does and how it functions that this had to be true. Food groups and risk of colorectal cancer in Italy. Tell us about these studies. It just turns everything around.
It does. This study showed that those who ate more carbohydrates had more colon cancer, and that meat and fish had really no effect, and that fruits and vegetables were protective. No surprise there. Eat more, especially vegetables. But some fruit is good. Again, 1 to 2 a day is great. Just the 6 and 7 per day crowd, I would caution them. But I would really recommend people try to look up these studies, and they're referenced in my book. But the point is that here's a study, and she had two. She had this is a very well-known Italian researcher. She had one showing that colon cancer goes up when you eat more potatoes and carbohydrates because it tends to ferment in the intestine and create an unfriendly atmosphere down there, and also affect insulin metabolism. And insulin apparently has a, when insulin metabolism goes awry, may have a cancer-stimulating effect. And she had another study showing that breast cancer rates increase on a high-carbohydrate diet. And, you know, the literature is out there. This is from the sterling peer-reviewed literature, every study that I've sent you, Lena, and that's also referenced in the back of the carnitine book. And I just picked up another study Sunday at the library called The Questionable Role of Saturated and Polyunsaturated Fatty Acids in Cardiovascular Disease, once again showing that running to carbohydrates as the savior of our long-term health is very foolish, and also calling saturated fatty acids the cause of heart disease is absolutely, completely undefensible. There is no conclusive evidence that saturated fats cause heart disease. It just isn't there. The emperor is wearing no clothes.
All right, so atherosclerosis, too, was reduced in patients who ate a high-protein diet. Now, this turns everything on your ear, too, because people have assumed that a high-fat, high-protein diet causes, you know, plaquing in the arteries.
Well, you know, the thing about fat is quality, and what we really need to approach our diet with is an attitude of inclusion. A healthy diet is not arrived at by process of elimination, and unfortunately, that's how Americans are taught nutrition. As Noam Chomsky said, we're the most afraid people in the world. We're taught, oh, you can't have that, you can't have that, you can't have that. What we end up with is a snack wall or some fat-free something that's defined by what it doesn't have, not by what it does have, which is pretty nonsensical. So we have to realize, and the literature supports this, by adding omega-3 fats, saturated fats are never a problem in any animal studies where there are omega-3 fats, and you get those in cold water fish and ground up flax seeds, which everyone should be adding to their oatmeal for breakfast or whatever, you know, breakfast they're having, if at all possible. Very inexpensive ground up flax seeds. You can grind
them. If you're not allergic to them, they're great.
As is the case with everything, if you're not allergic to it. But the bottom line is that the diet that we want to talk about is one that's, I would, instead of saying high protein, I like to call it optimal protein because it's different for all of us. What I really want to caution us to is from thinking that reducing carbohydrates, we're going to get into this carbohydrate deficiency. You know, there are cultures where people don't eat carbohydrates for many months at a time and are very healthy.
Or ever.
You know, carbohydrates are not an essential nutrient. Protein is. And fat is, but carbohydrates, you never need to eat them. Your body can make blood sugar from protein.
Well, you need it's a good idea to eat vegetables because they have you know, enzymes and things in them that protect you from all kinds of things.
Absolutely,
and they're carbohydrates. I mean, people forget that vegetables are carbohydrates.
Very low in carbohydrate. Isn't it interesting that one of the predominant sources of carbohydrates is very, very low in sugars? I mean, it's very hard to put on weight eating a lot of greens, and that's what we ate a lot of when we weren't eating.
Right.
Fat and protein out in the wild. Do you know that in the wild, when they've studied people groups that have lasted in the 20th century, unfortunately most of them are now being pushed into the cities and we're losing many of these people groups that we studied, but when the Australian Aborigines would kill a kangaroo in the wild and it was very, very lean, let's say it was springtime down there, which would be our fall, of course, and there would, you know, it had not eaten much during the winter, it turns out that they would leave that animal alone because they knew you needed fat to benefit for the body to utilize protein. So in the wild, people groups for millions of years cherished the fat on the animals and knew that it helped them assimilate the protein better. So we've really got things upside down.
Shortly, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back from the break, I want to go over this principle that we've just brought up, which is that things work together with each other in a certain ratio. And so I want to get into the specifics of fat and how that works and some of the interesting studies. Before I do that, I just want to also remind people of, now what we said here is that many of the studies that we're discussing are cited, if you want the references, in Robert Crayon's book, The Carnitine Miracle, which you will be able to get as a thank you gift, among other things, if you pledge during this hour. And I will be stopping the interview at about quarter to, and then I will be discussing the things that you'll be able to get, and in KPFK they'll be talking to you about what you can get. One of the studies that's not in here that I should probably send you, Robert, is this one that was done by Jan Muller in 1987, Interactions with Testosterone, Cortisol, and Cardiovascular Diseases, which reminds us that the sex hormones lower your cholesterol levels. So if your cholesterol level is zooming through the roof, there's usually some damage to the endocrine system or some inflammation in the body that needs to be addressed. There's usually a reason why cholesterol gets high, aside from eating sugar. And what Jan Muller discovered was that when men's testosterone levels dropped or were contested by estrogen, or if there was a cortisol problem with the adrenals, then the cholesterol went up. That testosterone was protective of the cardiovascular system. So
yeah, that's a widely held view.
Right, and you have to remember that if you do not eat enough cholesterol in your diet, your body will attempt to produce cholesterol because cholesterol is the first wave. It's the material that your sex hormones are produced from. So if you lower your cholesterol levels too low, you put yourself at risk for a number of diseases, including cancer in certain areas.
And the other thing is that the body needs zinc to make testosterone.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about the macro micro stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to break for actually 60 seconds because I want to play a cut from a comedy CD that Robert Crayon produced, which is not yet available in the stores, called Junk Food Nation. This is your own health and fitness. We're in a pledge drive, so if you want to call in during to your Pacific station during this break and pledge, that would be a good time. Or you can just sit back and listen to a little comedy from Robert Crayon's Junk Food Nation. I'm Lena Berman with Robert Crayon on the phone. We'll be right back. Hang tight.
Are you still deluded into thinking that butter causes heart disease? Then buy Sick to Heart Disease. We are most grateful that your American government has not yet banned hydrogenated oils, like European countries have. It does pay to be behind the times, doesn't it? Pay us, that is. Remember, when you buy Sydney's margarine, you get a coupon for a one-month supply of your favorite cholesterol-lowering drug. As we say at Sydney's, our margarine may raise cholesterol, but medication can bring it down again. This is Sydney, reminding you, in the words of David Letterman, that you can't spell margarine without angina. Look for Sydney's margarine wherever disease-causing foods are sold, and look for the broken heart symbol to indicate the presence of hydrogenated oils.
Welcome back. This is your own health and fitness. That was a little comedy from Robert Crayon, our nutritionist and friend who is on the air with us by phone, author of Robert Crayon's Nutrition Made Simple, and The Carnitine Miracle, which we'll be giving away as a thank you gift during this hour. During our pledge drive. And that was a cut from Junk Food Nation, which is a new CD that Robert produced, which is comedy routines about nutrition. And it leads us into the next thing we want to talk about as we discuss the fact that a high-protein diet actually protects you from cardiovascular and heart disease, not a low-fat, low-protein diet. So it leads us into this thing, which is another principle, which is about, in terms of making good individual eating choices, it's about the manner in which micro and macronutrients work in ratio together. So in the studies that we see, this comes up often as it relates to both fiber and fats, and what we just heard is that margarine, even though it's made from vegetable oil, which should be fine, is not fine. Why is it not fine?
Because it contains these strange fatty acids called trans fatty acids. Which
fake fat.
Yeah, it's stuff that shouldn't be in your body and blocks a whole bunch of enzyme reactions. And, you know, they put margarine on a windowsill, birds won't eat it. The butter will be gone in a day, but the margarine will be there a year later. Try this if you folks don't believe it. And, you know, Mary Enig is a wonderful researcher.
Yes.
Who is just, you know, that ad for Sydney's margarine really is a love letter to Mary, because she has for years been documenting the problems with hydrogenated oils. And again, they're, you know, if you took margarine off the shelf in America and tried to sell it in, say, Germany or something, be against the law, because they know these hydrogenated oils are a problem. Walter Willard of Harvard believes that 30,000 heart attack deaths a year are due to the hydrogenated oils in margarine, vegetable shortening, cookies, cakes, and convenience foods. So if you see hydrogenated oils, run. You know, Andrew Weil was once asked, what's the one food you would never eat? And he said margarine. And touche.
Well, here's the part that's confusing. People have come to understand that you're not supposed to eat fats that harden, you know? And then they took vegetable oil, which is, now, I don't agree that you're not supposed to eat fats that harden, but what Mary Enig has taught us with her 20-odd years of research and fighting the industry is that if you change the nature of fats by processing them, they become damaged fats.
Absolutely. And Lena, the research that purported to show that saturated fats cause heart disease, most of it was actually done on the trans fats from hydrogenated oils. And
rancid pork lard.
Well, the rancid fats, of course, are a problem, but pointing to saturated fats and accusing them with evidence that really was gathered on trans fats is probably the greatest nutritional scandal of the century. So please avoid hydrogenated fats, and don't worry about saturated fats, and get all your essential nutrients, and that's all there is to it.
Well, come on, there's more to it than that. There's an issue with, and there's several studies here. We've got the Spanish paradox.
Oh, that incredible paper.
Right, right. So I want to talk about that. And then there's another one, which was done in Japan, which Clara Felix sent me. We'll be talking about Clara Felix at the end because we've got her newsletter here. Dietary fats, yes, the N6 to N3 balance and chronic elderly diseases, excess linoleic acid and relative N3 deficiency syndrome seen in Japan. They discovered in Japan that it wasn't meat consumption that was causing a problem. It was the fact that they were frying with polyunsaturated vegetable oils and that they had stopped eating fish. So talk about the ratio of the omega-3s, the omega-9s, and the omega-6s, and this Spanish paradox.
Well, the Spanish paradox is a different story, but it is. But you're absolutely right about the ratio. And the big thing about fats that makes it so much more easy to be healthy and to eat a health-promoting diet is when you realize that it's not how much fat you eat, it's the quality of the fat you eat. And I'll defend that with 100 papers. And when I teach healthcare practitioners in a seminar, I ask them, what would they think is more important, quantity or quality with fat? And if you're getting the right balance of all the fats, the omega-3s, again, that's your cold water fish, flaxseed, a little bit is found in beans, and you're balancing that with omega-6s, which is the overconsumed safflower, sunflower, corn oils, and the arachidonic acid in meat. These are beneficial, but we take too much of them and crowd out the omega-3s, and we get into this huge imbalance that creates a lot of metabolic disarray. And Israel is a country where they have a ratio of 24 to 1, 6 to 3. And you know, in the Paleolithic times, 2.6 million years, we were more like between 4 and 2 to 1 of omega-6 to omega-3. So again, 6 times the ratio of 6 to 3. And we get into so many problems. And what is Israel seeing following all this advice to consume polyunsaturates willy-nilly? Heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and obesity, epidemic rates. If you want to give somebody type 2 diabetes, give them a lot of omega-6 and don't give them any omega-3s, and you can do that. You can do it in animals and humans. So balance the quality, and you'll be fine. So in other words, add a tablespoon of flax oil a day or ground up flax seeds or eat some salmon or
add some fish oil.
Add some fish oil, something like that. And the Spanish paradox. What an incredible paper. This is right out of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Spanish researchers looked at the 20 years history, the past 20 years in Spain. They found that the people in Spain were eating, over this period, increased amounts of meat and fish, and they were eating a little bit more fruit, and they were decreasing their intake of carbohydrates. And wouldn't you know that the heart disease rate was going down? And they said, well, this doesn't make sense. This is the Spanish paradox. You know what? It's not a paradox. It's called the Spanish people going back to the Paleolithic diet in to some degree. You know, they're still eating some carbohydrates, and we can all eat some carbohydrates. We all tolerate grains and carbohydrates to a different degree. Some people eat a ton and seem fine. Some people eat a little bit of grains, and they don't feel well. But the bottom line is that the arrogance of these researchers, at the end of the paper, they still come out and say that people in Spain should eat less meat and more carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the
Amazing.
Fact that they're doing the opposite and everything is going wonderfully well.
Okay, another thing, and this goes out to my old friend, Dr. Raymond P., PhD, who I agree with 80% of the time, who has for years been saying saturated fats are good for you, tropical fats are good for you.
Absolutely.
And coconut oil is wonderful for you and has all these great things. So here comes a study, the Polynesian study from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, 881, about the tropical saturated fats like coconut oil and palm oil, which we don't get much of in this country because we don't produce it, which have, and this also Mary Enig is talking about, lauric and, how do you pronounce this? Myristic acids.
Yeah.
Which and all the animal protein has this stuff in it too, because the animals eat coconut.
Yeah, and
they eat fish.
So they're eating all these tropical oils, and their heart disease rate was very, very low. As a matter of fact, the researchers reported certainly there is no reason based on this report to alter the diet patterns of coconut eaters in order to reduce coronary risk. So they're Homo sapiens, we're Homo sapiens. What's different about the U.S.? You know, tropical oils, it's as if you'd yelled fire in a crowded theater. People are so afraid of them. But coconut oil is half lauric acid, which has very powerful antiviral properties. And in the Carnitine Miracle, I talk about all the protocols that I use with a lot of nutrients and diet. And I have to say that in HIV and all viral conditions, lauric acid-rich coconut, whether it's coconut milk or eating coconut meat or coconut oil, is a wonderful food.
It's antifungal, too.
It's antifungal. It's wonderful for so many conditions, particularly HIV. So if you've got HIV, please eat lots of coconut.
And then again, if you're not allergic to it, I hate to keep saying that.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I want to, in a moment, I want to move on to the additional vitamins, minerals, and nutrient supplements that increase the effectiveness of a high-protein diet and help the heart. But before we do that, just leave people with, now, we've got this issue that you want to control the ratio between omega-6s and omega-3s. Are we talking one-to-one?
We're talking add omega-3s. Go home today, throw out your safflower, sunflower, corn oil. You don't need it. Throw it away. According to Bill Lanz, the brightest person on the planet, maybe when it comes to fatty acids, Americans have enough omega-6 stored in their cell membranes to last them many years. So,
all right, but we're also eating saturated fat on this diet.
Right.
So, do we need to balance the threes with the saturated fat?
We need to get our daily requirement for omega-3s, which is easily met by either a tablespoon of flaxseed oil, 3 tablespoons of ground flaxseed,
or fish oil,
or eating a serving of fish, or about 1,500 to 1,000 milligrams
okay.
of combined EPA DHA.
All right, but
and if you do that, you're generally fine, and you don't have to worry too much about the ratio. I do recommend lean meats and cutting off visible fat. I'm all for that. I don't like the heavily marbled meats. I think, you know.
What about butter?
Butter is fine in moderation. I wouldn't, you know, go crazy with butter, but I think that, you know, a little bit of butter on your steak, if that's something you like, is fine. Olive oil's great, but you know, serving per serving, a tablespoon of butter will have less fat than a tablespoon
yeah.
of olive oil, because there's water in the butter. And there's a wonderful interview with Jacques Pepin, the French chef, where he says Americans eat carbohydrates as if it were medicine. You know, they've got it all wrong. I mean, they go too far. And so, in terms of balance, add the good things, and you'll probably be fine.
And then we have the beneficial effects of things like primrose oil, which have anti-inflammatory properties. This is Ray P. hates this stuff, and is wonderful for hormonal balance.
My clients love this stuff.
Okay, but it's an omega-6.
It's an omega-6. GLA is something that a lot of people benefit from, and particularly if you're taking fish oils, you'll decrease your body's ability to make GLA. So you probably need that as an almost essential
very
supplement.
Very important to balance those two.
Yeah, there are a lot of a zillion great papers on GLA.
Okay, now, da-da-da-da, the other vitamins, minerals, and nutrient supplements that increase the effectiveness of a high-protein diet and help your heart.
Okay. Can I just quickly mention one more study, which is the Bernard Wolf study?
Oh, yes, thank you. I had that down here. So.
Because that's the classic paper. Canadian Journal of Cardiology, October 1995, supplement G, I think it is. The paper was, they took people on a high-carb diet, they decreased their carb, and took that fraction that was carbohydrate, put back protein. So they went from low-protein, high-carb, to higher-protein, low-carb. Everything went fabulous. LDL cholesterol, the one you don't want a lot of, went down. HDL, the protective, went up. Triglycerides plummeted. And VLDL, another cholesterol we don't want a lot of, also went down. Wonderful paper. So
yeah, it's an amazing paper.
It's referenced in the carnitine book. So getting on to the micronutrients part of the story. Well, we have so many micronutrients. The great thing about eating a diet that has more animal products in it is you're naturally going to get more of things like zinc, which is a critical nutrient for so many functions in the body, carnitine and taurine to some degree, but nutrients that help all that this optimal protein diet work, as I like to call it, include fiber. And fiber is something that we either get in our ground of flax meal or our oatmeal. You know, there are some good carbohydrates that we should be getting daily.
What if you don't eat those carbohydrates? Can you get it from vegetables and fruits? Those are soluble fibers, which are the ones that get the best press.
Right. And, of course, flax meal has the soluble as well.
Again, we've got allergic people listening.
If allergic people are listening, I would try to play around with some of the unusual grains that may help you.
Some people can't tolerate grains. We're talking about a low-carbohydrate diet. Some of us might want to just go for vegetables.
But sure, in a low-carbohydrate diet, some people can have a half cup of grains per day, and we're still on the low end of carbohydrate intake. You could play around with psyllium fiber if you can.
I don't like psyllium. It's sprayed like crazy.
It is sprayed a lot, but you know, I think some of the manufacturers you can call, and hopefully they're getting more responsible stuff. I don't really know what to say. Chia seeds are
well,
unusual.
Anyway, aside from those, I mean, I was looking for things like the importance of the balance between sodium and potassium, your mineral balance, your magnesium, CoQ10, lipoic acid, carnitine, vitamin C, bioflavonoids.
Well, of course, I'm a big fan of carnitine because that's the title of the book, but I don't want people to think it's just this big book about carnitine. Carnitine is sort of the E-day fix of the book that brings you through the Paleolithic diet, because it turns out eating all these animal products, as humans, we got 1 to 4 grams of carnitine a day, and that's the amount people take as supplements and find benefits, you know, weight loss and sports performance. Carnitine's important. Antioxidants are always important, no matter what diet you're eating. Living in America, in the smoggy, stressful world we have, I hope everyone listening to this program is already taking vitamin E, vitamin C, and selenium. I mean, that just should be a given. 1,000 milligrams of C, 400 of E, and 200 micrograms of selenium, and, you know, talk to your healthcare practitioner and all that good stuff. But carnitine and coenzyme Q10 are two of the sort of accessory nutrients, as they're called, because our body can make them in small amounts. You know, just because something is not technically absolutely essential, we don't always give it our full attention, but these are two wonderful nutrients for heart health throughout your lifespan and also for maximum energy and immune function. Carnitine and coenzyme Q10 are both wonderful for immune function. You mentioned magnesium. In the Paleolithic diet, we got close to 750 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams a day, and we also got close to 2,000 milligrams of calcium daily. Now, where in the world did we get that? We were not eating any milk after age 4 when we stopped breastfeeding in the wild. We breastfed pretty late, apparently. We got it from greens. We got it from the wild fruits and vegetables and from the bones of animals and, you know, bone marrow. So we're used to getting a fair amount of calcium. Isn't it interesting? Without the dairy products, we still got a lot of calcium. And some of the Paleolithic research suggests that we got it in a 1-to-1 ratio. We got, you know, just as much magnesium as calcium. And a very interesting paper just came out showing that drinking milk, does not protect people from fractures. There was actually an increased risk to bone to hip fracture in women who were drinking milk as opposed to those who didn't. So
excuse the ratio of magnesium to calcium.
What's that?
Excuse the ratio. Milk is very high in calcium, has very little magnesium.
And it's got phosphorus. You know, there may be too much phosphorus in milk. And one of the things, by the way, while we're on the topic of bone health, sunlight. You know, so many of us are so afraid of sunlight.
Right, and vitamin D as well.
Vitamin D is the most important bone nutrient. I don't care how much calcium you're taking. If you don't have D, you won't have good bones.
Yeah, and then just to explain why I was fighting you on the grains is that I have seen people who have what you see in the research is called a thrifty gene, which means that they have an easy addiction to sugar and glucose intolerance, easy to put on weight, and this is a hereditary sort of thing. People like that are prone to addiction, and when they eat a small amount of grains and carbohydrates, they often become very addicted. So for those people, it may be better for them to just eat fruits and vegetables.
Oh, absolutely, and especially those people who have any kind of autoimmune disease. Dr. Lauren Cordain's just written a marvelous paper called Cereal Grains, Humanity's Double-Edged Sword. Mm-hmm. Cereal grains have a lot of anti-nutrients. They have things like pyridoxine glucoside, which blocks B6 absorption and metabolism. And if you put somebody on a diet that's more than 50% grains, they will develop rickets even if they have adequate vitamin D in their body. So the rickettsian factors in grains. So grains in small amounts, and of all the grains, the common ones, oats seems to be the most innocuous for most people, and so the less wheat, the better.
Robert Crayon, author of The Carnitine Miracle, published by Evans, a book that's available to you during this hour if you pledge. I have to let you go so I can move on into our pledge break. I want to thank you so much for taking your time. As I said, you are the hardest working person in the field. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and I hope that your listeners are really going to support you, Lena. I love your program.
Thank you so much, Robert. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, let me have some pledging music. And I think also, if you can, bring me the telephone box so I can nag people about, you know, whether or not people are phoning in, because I can't see. So let's get some pledge music on, and let me give you some phone numbers. If that was exciting to you, if that was exciting information for you, then I think it's time for you to call in and pledge your support. It's 510-848-5732, or out of the area code, it's 1-800-439-5732. I need to see some phone lines lighting up. So I have a great big, huge challenge grant. So they're going to make me work hard during this pledge break here. $340 to match. That's going to give me that's like just shy of $700. It's $680 if you can match this pledge. Joshua Freeman from North Fork and Esmeralda Kent in San Francisco. How generous of you. How nice of you. All right, so I can see the phone line. What, are you going to stand there and hold them? You going to do that? All right. Well, that's good. I've got a very, very generous... I can't see it that way, darling. Yeah. Anyway, call me now because, you know what, this has been an incredible show. I'm sure that... I've got a box. I'm cool. I've got a box. You're not going to hear this information on other stations, including other, possibly other public radio stations, because this is such cutting-edge information, and it goes against some of the corporate sponsors of some of your Pacific. You know, Pacifica is not a corporate-sponsored radio station. You know that. You know that our network does not take corporate sponsors. The other public radio stations do, and one of their largest ones is ADM. ADM is a huge lobby in the agricultural industry that is trying to push polyunsaturated vegetable oils, among other things, and corn and various things that may or may not work for everybody. So what I'm trying to do is break through and bring you information that might be different from what you hear when there's a corporate sponsor. So you know that. You know that that's the reason. You know, this is like an easy way. Hey, 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. 848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. What an easy way to do something political. Join your Pacifica station. What an easy way to make a difference, huh? It's a very easy way. I come in once a week, I volunteer my time, and I'm blessed to be able to do this for you. I want to thank some food donors here, Peaberry's Coffee and Teas, The Bake Shop, and Cliff Bars. Those are Boogie Woogie Bagel Boy. These are funny people to be. Oh, well. A lot of Mediterranean. These are people who have donated foods. They're joining our quest to survive in this increasingly right-wing environment. The Pacifica Network is always in danger of losing its airways because there are people who want our frequencies. So we're judged very, we're watched very carefully. If we make mistakes on the air, you know, if we're too self-promoting on the air, so the point is here that we're here for you, and we can't survive without you. And that's very straightforward, and it's very clean. It's clean because we only take your sponsors. You're the only ones that we're beholden to. So get on the phone right now at 510-848-5732 and 1-800-439-5732. And let me tell you what you get. If you join at a $75 level, you're going to get the Carnitine Miracle as a thank you gift. That's only $6.25 a month if you want to pledge on a monthly basis. $75 for the Carnitine Miracle, which has all of the sightings of these research things that you can look up, and then you can follow them on the internet. You can also get the KPFA Alternative Health Package, which I'm going to describe here, for $12.50 a month or $150 a year. Or you can get one of the books, you can get the book and one of the magazines from the health package for $115. Are you taking this down? I hope so. Or you can get everything for $200. And $200 makes sure that we're going to stay on the air bringing you the stuff. All right, what's in the health package? Herbs for Health. This is a magazine that Karen Sanders from the Herbal Highway has recommended. This means you can have coming to your home on a probably monthly basis all the information you can possibly absorb about herbs. 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732. The Felix Letter. My friend, Clara Felix. I love Clara. Her newsletter was an inspiration to me, essentially. It never occurred to me to get it. I finally, after I got on KPFA, finally heard from her and then got in touch with her, and we've been fast friends. But I've been reading this newsletter forever because it, like my show, goes under the surface of what's available in terms of information. That's applause for you because you're calling in right now at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732 to get this health package. Clara's newsletter is written in this wonderful, you feel like you're in the kitchen with her having a cup of coffee, well, or a cup of tea, whatever works for you. And it's filled, like I said, with the Japanese study I was telling you about. She did a whole newsletter on that. Who else reports on this stuff? She's got a whole thing on, well, she of course talks about the good fats all the time. She's been doing this forever. Clara's been doing this forever. And then Dr. Andrew Weil's self-healing newsletter. A lot of you like Andrew Weil. He's a doctor who's come out and taken an alternative position. He's very much in the public eye. And he talks about using less invasive treatments to help yourself, to self-care, you know, this whole self-care. There are lights available. There are phone lines available. You can call right now at 848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. I've got a challenge grant here, honey boys and girls. I've got a $340 challenge to meet, and I've got lots of empty phone lines. So I need you to get on the phone right now at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. Get a copy of Robert's book for $75. Get the alternative health package for $150, or break it down into monthly payments. $12.50 a month is going to get you this health package with three different publications. You would normally pay, you would expect to pay that much for one of these publications, or twice this much. You can get this and join KPFA as a member for $12.50 a month and get help me toward this challenge grant of $340. Again, it's 510-848-5732. Join the rest of the listeners who are calling in right now, who are making a political statement that they want this frequency to remain open to the people. 1-800-439-5732. Call now and get a copy of The Carnitine Miracle by Robert Crahone. Read about some of the studies that I was telling you about, or get the KPFA Alternative Health Package for $12.50 a month, or get both for $200, or choose either the Andrew Weil newsletter or Clara Felix's newsletter or the Herbs for Health and get the book, those two together for $115. Let me thank some generous people. Catherine McLay from Berkeley, thank you so much. Peggy Winnings, thank you for your help. Brett Jolly, again, thank you. This Brett is in Fairfax. From Palo Alto, Catherine Plutchuk, I hope I'm not murdering your name, thank you. Don't stop calling, folks. It's 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. I've only got a few minutes left to meet that $340 challenge grant from Joshua Freeman and Esmeralda Kent. Thank you to Helen Madner from Menlo Park. Carol Hayward in Mountain View, thank you so much for your gifts and support. Gloria Mendoza, this warms the cockles of my heart. It makes all the studying and work that I do 2 days a week to prepare for this show worth it. From Petaluma, Chris Lynch, thank you. John Thied, from San Francisco. Marissa, oh boy. Quiranta, I'm sorry about these names. Oakland, California. Mary Sonnenberg from Walnut Creek. Join these people. There's a couple of phone lines available to you right now. If you call, you can get one of these magazines, Herbs for Health, the Felix Letter, which will make you feel like Clara's at home with you, telling you wonderful new research that will, as Robert says, which is like foreplay for the mind to get this information. It's so exciting and stimulating. Clara Felix's newsletter or the Andrew Weil newsletter. Choose one of those publications and get Robert Crahone's The Carnitine Miracle, which is a wonderful hardbound book with lots of research in it. Get them both for $115. Get the whole health package for $12.50 a month, or get The Carnitine Miracle for $6.25 a month, $75 a year. Gosh, that's cheap for the kind of information that will be a protection for your health. Education, understanding, information is what protects you with your health. There's no healthcare practitioner who can help you as much as you can. And what I'm attempting to do is teach you about self-care, give you enough information so that you can sort through it and individualize it so that you're protected. We've got some phone lines open at 510-848-5732.